Today is Christ the King Sunday. It's my favorite Sunday of the liturgical year. It's the culmination of the Christian year. It is the day whose proclamation is the very heart of our faith. Jesus is Lord of all. I was thinking this week about the difference between subjective truth and objective truth. If I say to you that Van Gogh's Starry Night is the most important painting of the 19th century, that is subjectively true. It's the truth from the perspective of the person who's making the claim. We live in a world where people talk about my truth, and what we mean is a non-negotiable personal opinion. That's subjective truth. I believe Starry Night is the most important painting of the 19th century. But when I Googled most important paintings of the 19th century, some idiot out there think it's Monet's Woman with a Parasol, because apparently he has not seen Starry Night. But there's another kind of truth. If I tell you that this week there was a beaver moon lunar eclipse on Friday, that it lasted roughly 21,693 seconds, that that's about 6 hours and 2 minutes, and that the last partial lunar eclipse that lasted that duration was on February the 18th, 1440, and the next one that will be of that length will not be until February the 8th of 2669, at least according to the astronomical experts in Stavanger, Norway. That's objective truth. That is truth that does not depend upon the perspective of the one making the claim. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, it's true. Now, when we say Jesus is Lord of all, is that subjective truth or objective truth? Yeah, that's objective truth. That's our claim. That if Jesus is bodily raised from the dead, then he is Israel's Messiah and he is the rightful King and Lord over the whole world. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Jesus is, in fact, right now the sovereign King of the universe. Now, there is a subjective dimension to that truth, and it is this. Your relationship with Jesus, or lack thereof, determines whether you hear that truth as good news or as bad news. But for those of us who know Jesus as Lord, this is the most profoundly good news that there is to share. It's the kind of news that inspires poetry and song and the heights of the scripture. And just to unpack that some this morning, I wanted us to share a hymn that the Apostle Paul wrote when he wrote to the church in Colossae. If you want to see it with me, it's in Colossians chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 15 together. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, giving you time to look. And there the scripture says, Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. By him all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, things visible and invisible, whether rulers or thrones or powers or authority, for all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, so that in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in all things he might have the first place. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through Jesus to reconcile all things unto himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once, you were alienated from God. You were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you as holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in the faith, firm and established, not diverting from the hope in the gospel that you have heard. This gospel has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and I, Paul, have been made its minister. This is the word of the Lord. Paul, thinking about Jesus, says he's the visible image of the invisible God. Most people, most religions, most systems of philosophy will acknowledge that there is something or someone out there, but they follow that with, but we just really can't know what or who. And the Apostle Paul said, that's not right. When you see Jesus, when you know Jesus, you know who God is. And the more we get to know Jesus, the more we get to know about Jesus, the more we understand who God is and what God does. And then the more we understand about who we are and what it is we are to do and how it is that we're to live in and for him. Christ the King Sunday reminds us that Christianity is not simply about a particular way of being religious. It's not even really about a system about how to be saved, either here or in the hereafter, although Christ offers us salvation. It's not even a path to holiness. Christianity is about Jesus. He is the content and the center of our faith. And Paul makes this astounding claim that in this one who is the visible image of the invisible God, all things hold together. Think about that for just a minute. All things. In this baby from Bethlehem, behind the little chubby cheeks, is the one who holds together the whole universe, life and death, hydrogen and oxygen and helium and every element on the periodic table, mountains and seas and every environ on earth. All things are held together in Jesus. It does not feel that way right now, does it? The world seems to be coming apart at the seams. We don't even agree about how to see the world. According to the New York Times this last week, we have become a nation who view the world first through a political lens. And 75% of people in America who self-identify as Republicans, when thinking about racial relations in our country, say we need to do nothing or very little to affect racial equity in the United States. And 75% of people who self-identify as Democrats say we need to do a lot to affect racial equity in the United States. We look at the world through different lenses. Is it any wonder when one thing happens, we interpret it so differently? This week, a jury determined that Kyle Rittenhouse should suffer no consequence for bringing a long gun to a used car parking lot and fatally shooting two people and wounding a third. Can I just say, without regard to anyone's politics, is that the world we want to live in? Where that kind of violence holds no consequence? And we don't even seem to know how to talk about those kinds of things with people to whom we are close. Almost not a week, certainly not a month has gone by in the last 2 years where someone from our congregation does not call me and say, I don't know how to talk to this person in my family anymore. I'm dreading the Thanksgiving table because I just don't know how the conversation's going to go. I feel estranged from my family and I don't know what to do about it. How are we going to come back together? And you don't even have to get out there at the lens we use to see out there. 2 weeks ago, I stood right here and we remembered on All Saints Day those saints that we have lost in the last year. And we know that we have loved and lost. We sit with people in the face of their grief, and some of them say, I just don't even know how I'm going to get through the next hour. It feels like my whole life is unraveling. And all the while, we have this promise in Scripture that Jesus will hold all things together. What Paul is saying is, no matter what, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how rough the road, no matter how dark the night, Jesus will hold all things together. And you say, that sounds good, but where is the proof of that? Louis Giglio was preaching in Tyler. And when he finished the sermon, a molecular biologist from the local university came up to talk to him, and they were having a conversation. And at the end of the conversation, the guy asked him, hey, where are you going next? What are you doing? He said, I'm going back to Atlanta, and I'm going to preach a sermon on the glory of God in our body. And the guy said, are you going to tell him about laminin? No, that was not high on my list. Do you not know about laminin? No, he said, it's the cellular adhesion molecule. You might not know this. Most pastors are not science majors. He said, it's laminin. Do you not know how proteins work? And Louis said, I really don't, and I'm not really clear how this is going to help. He said, look, our cells organize themselves around molecules, and those molecules determine what the proteins are, and there's somewhere between 10,000 and 60,000 proteins in our body. We don't even have a count of how many they are. But laminin is the cellular adhesion molecule. It determines what other proteins are made, and it's the differentiator of cells. It tells them what to do. Okay, thanks. Appreciate that. That was very helpful. And Louis went back home, and then when he was at home, it just wouldn't leave his mind, and so he did a Google search for laminin. Would you do that right? Just get your phone out and do a Google image search, L-A-M-I-N-I-N. L-A-M-I-N-I-N. I'll wait. But do look up here once you found it, so I'll know. Did you find it? That is literally, objectively, what is holding your body together right now. From the first moment of creation, God determined that that was the structure that would hold you together. That's the stuff that holds your organs together and gives your body shape, and it is in the perfect shape of the cross of our Lord Jesus. Before he ever knew that, Paul said he holds all things together. And he'll hold you together. Do you ever come to a place where you think, look, you don't know what I've been going through? I know God's been through a lot, and I know he's dealt with a lot of people, but he just hadn't been through what I've been through right now. Do you think that way sometimes? It's like comparing a thimble to the ocean. If he can hold all things together, if he can hold your cells together, he can hold you together. And he already has. It's not just that there are tiny little crosses holding each of your cells together. It's that there is a cross that stands over all of history and holds the cosmos together. The visible image of the invisible God holds all things together with his cross. Paul said, once you were alienated from God. You were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, he has reconciled you by Christ's body, by his physical body, through death. He says the change in our relationship with God came not because of what we did, not through anything we did or anything that we could have done, but because of what God did. Our salvation is from God and from His love and from nothing else. And that's amazing. That's grace. Can I tell you, it is all the difference in the world whether we are trying to live into God's love or out of God's love. It is all the difference in the world whether we're trying to earn our way into God's love or if we're trying to be the cause of God's love or if we're just living because we already have it. It's the difference between a trapeze and a swing. You know, on a trapeze, you hang on for dear life. And on a swing, dear life holds on to you. It's completely different. The Apostle Paul lived his life up to the moment of the Damascus Road, trying to earn his way into God's love. He knew he was born into a covenant with God, but he also knew he had to keep the law in order to keep his place. And trying to keep that law was killing Paul. It was tearing him apart. The first time we see the apostle in the scripture is in Acts chapter 7. He's holding the coats while they're stoning Stephen to death. And then we find him again in chapter 8. And he's asking for permission to go to Damascus where he can round up Christian believers and bring them back to Jerusalem for trial, where they will be summarily executed there. Can I just tell you, when you get to the place where you think God is calling me to kill people, you've left the fold. That is out there. But on the road to Damascus, the Apostle Paul met the risen Christ, who is the sovereign King of the universe, and discovered that Jesus already loved him in spite of every bad thing he'd ever done. He looked into the very face of God, and what he saw was the loving face of Jesus. And he knew in that moment that there was nothing he could do that would make God love him more. God already loved him completely. And there was nothing he could do that would cause God to love him less. God loves us from the inside out, not from the outside in. And that love healed Paul. It held him together. And Paul spent the rest of his life trying to communicate to any who would listen the radical, powerful, transforming love of God and its ability to hold us together. Once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you. Reconciliation is not cheap. He didn't wave a magic wand or say an incantation. How did we come to be reconciled? Through His blood shed on the cross. Jesus died for our sin and for our sake. And by the way, that means in the worst moment of His life, God did not change Jesus' circumstance. And sometimes when you're going through the hardest thing that you can imagine and you think this is going to rip me apart, I just have to tell you, God is not going to change that circumstance, but He is going to hold you together. And He's going to use that circumstance to heal you and to heal the world. That's not easy news, but it is good news. Reconciliation doesn't just happen. It takes work. And what Paul wants us to know is now we have work to do. Laminin not only holds the cells together, it's the cellular adhesion molecule. It also is the differentiation molecule. It tells the cells what to do. The cross not only holds us together, it tells us what to do. For 10 years, Dr. Patricia Strom was the only surgeon at a mission hospital in Bangladesh. And then in 1994, her parents were getting ill, and so she moved to Georgia to take care of them there. And she began her practice there. In 2015, she was elected chief of staff at the Northeast Georgia Medical Center. She was interviewed by World Magazine. And they asked her what she likes best about being a surgeon. And she said, "I love Saturday night at Grady Hospital because I get to help repair all the awful things that have happened out there. I get to fix so much that is broken in the world. Can I just tell you, when Christ holds you together, you start to look more like Him. And when Christ holds you together, you start to live more like Him. The risen Lord Jesus Christ is the King of the universe. He is before all things, and in Him all things, even you, are held together. Well, wow.